بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه وتحلى بصفاته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر، صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected ulama kiram, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, we are all well aware of tonight's date in accordance to the Hijri calendar, the eve of the 12th of Rabiul Awwal 1445, more or less 1435 years after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made parda from and left this world. And generally the custom is such that on this date, not just in our country but in different parts of the world, an opportunity arises, presents itself for us to revisit and to discuss the life, the sacrifices and the achievements of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the onset, respected brothers and elders, let us understand, tonight is not about celebration, tonight is about education. When it comes to the date of birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, much like the date of his demise, then this is something subject to scholarly difference of opinion. According to one narration of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, the date of birth of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was the first or the second of Rabi'ul Awwal. Other ulama have mentioned different dates. Some have mentioned the 8th of Rabi'ul Awwal. When it comes to the date of demise of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, here also there exists difference of opinion. But nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has presented us with this opportunity. The goal, the objective, the maqsood is what, my respected brothers and elders, our gathering here tonight, those who are here, those who are listening over the receiver, what is the objective, what is the goal for us once again to remind ourselves? That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, is, and will always remain our greatest benefactor. There is no being in the annals of history who it has been documented and recorded offered so much, made such an amount of sacrifice, gave up so much of his personal comfort in order for the betterment of everyone besides himself. This is a concept which is well known to us, especially in our country we find. A common theme is for the lives and the efforts of those individuals who fought against injustice, against oppression, who fought for liberation, for their lives and their efforts to be remembered and appreciated. In our country, we find every year on the 27th of April is a day which is known as Freedom Day, where South Africans throughout the country, schools will close, businesses will close. It is celebrated as a national public holiday, where the lives and the efforts of those political figures who fought against injustice, who fought for the liberation of the nation of South Africa, for their lives and efforts to be remembered and appreciated. Understand, respected brothers and elders, as people of Iman, as ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam did not come to liberate one nation or one group of people. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent into this world to liberate, to free the entire mankind, humanity at large. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا. Allah Rabbul Izzah does not mince his words, O Nabi of Allah, we have sent you for the entire mankind. When it comes to insan, when it comes to jinnat, every creation of Allah Rabbul Izzah in this world benefited from the sacrifice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even prior to his coming into this world, my respected brothers and elders, the world was being prepared for the arrival of a special person. The year was Amul Fil, the year of the elephant. The incident is well known. Abraha al-Ashram was a Yemeni ruler, and he had constructed a church in his hometown. And he wanted this church to become the focal point of the travelers and the tourists of that area. But despite this, the house of Allah, Baytullah, Makkatul Mukarrama, was still the center of attraction. Trade caravans would come to Makkah Mukarrama. Tourists would go to visit the Baytullah. Tawaf would take place around the house of Allah. Abraha became envious, jealous, Why is it that Baytullah in Makkah Mukarrama is receiving this amount of attention? And in Amul Fil, he prepared an army, according to some narrations, 60,000 men strong. Abraha arrives riding atop an elephant. The army is well equipped. What is the goal? That we will destroy and completely break down the house of Allah. In doing so, my church, my temple will become the focal point, the center of attention. Logically, practically, it would have been impossible for the Arabians, for the Quraysh to defend Baytullah. They were ill-equipped. They were not prepared to defend against such a large and strong army. But it was Amul Fil, the year of the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah describes the scene in the Quran. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. That have you not seen what Allah did to the people of the elephant? أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلِ. Did Allah not thwart every plan and plot of theirs? وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ. Allah made use of birds, pigeons, or sparrows. A sparrow in comparison to an elephant. But Allah was laying the platform for the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Baytullah had to be protected. Why? So that approximately 60 years later, the army of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would arrive from Medina Munawwara. And he would conquer and take over the house of Allah. It would become the focal point of the Darul Islam and Darul Iman of the time. Even prior to his coming into this world, the stage was set. The Majus, the fire worshippers in Persia, as is the practice prevalent in today's time in different parts of the world, they would show great reverence and respect to fire. They had a temple in Persia, there was a fire burning for hundreds of years. That fire which was not allowed to be put out or extinguished. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes into this world without an explanation. The fire in the temple of Persia is extinguished and put out. Kisra was the ruler of the time. He had a great palace, magnificent structure, which was the pride of his entire kingdom. According to riwayat, upon the birth of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the palace of Kisra, this begins to shake and tremble. One narration mentions 12 pillars of the palace of Kisra fall down, crumbling to the ground. The world is being told that there is a special event taking place. In the house of Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, as we know, in the time of the Arabs, great honor and reverence or significance would be attached to that person who would father a son in his home. Abdul Muttalib was amongst the Arabs, he was a leader. On one occasion, he takes an oath before Allah Rabbul Izzah. A secret oath, nobody knows of it besides himself. He says, O Allah, I make a promise, I make a vow to you. If you bless me with 10 sons, I will sacrifice one of them in your name. Taqdeer, fate is such, Allah blesses him with 10 sons together with his daughters. And this vow is troubling Abdul Muttalib as his sons reach or come of age. Abdul Muttalib now says to them that, listen, this is a vow I had taken with Allah. And one of you will have to be sacrificed in order for me to fulfill my oath before Allah. How are we going to decide which son will be sacrificed? So the solution is that we will draw lots. 10 arrows are brought, the names of these 10 sons are written on each arrow. And Abdul Muttalib is made to draw a lot. When he picks out the arrow, the name of Abdullah emerges. The father of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was not yet married. Abdul Muttalib is heartbroken. This son is the apple of my eye. But nevertheless, this is an oath, a vow I took before Allah, I have to fulfill it. He takes Abdullah to the Kaaba Sharif, he prepares to slaughter him. His family members try to dissuade him. The community members are dissuading him. Eventually, a soothsayer is brought, a wise woman of the time. And this dilemma is placed in front of her. Abdul Muttalib has taken this vow, what does he do? So she comes up with a solution. She says that at that time, the blood money for the life of a person belonging to that clan was the amount or the equivalent of 10 camels. So she says to Abdul Muttalib, listen, take 2 arrows. On one arrow, write the name of Abdullah. On the other arrow, you will write 10 camels. And draw lots once again. Hopefully, the camels will come out and you can get away like this. Abdullah draws the first lot. Abdul Muttalib draws the lot, Abdullah's name comes out. She says, do it again. He draws again, Abdullah's name comes out. A third time, Abdullah's name comes out. Fourth time. Until eventually 10 times, the amount is now 100 camels. Finally, he draws that lot and the camels emerge. She says to him, slaughter 100 camels and you will sacrifice, or rather you will ransom the life of your son. And incidentally, then the blood money for the life of a person becomes 100 camels. And we find the Shariat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam kept this practice. A person who will take the life of a mu'min unintentionally, mistakenly, then he will be required to pay 100 camels in blood money to the family of the deceased. But this entire plan is put into place. Why? Allah Rabbul Izzah is setting the stage for the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. According to one narration, there is a fortune teller. And every day Abdullah would leave the home of Abdul Muttalib en route to the marketplace. And this fortune teller, she was a woman. She would attempt to seduce Abdullah. But he was a man of nobility, of honor. He would refuse. He would reject her advances. She continues to do this day after day. Eventually the day comes, Abdullah's hand is given in marriage to Amina, the mother of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. This fortune teller becomes enraged. But she doesn't give up hope. She continues to make her attempt. Each day Abdullah passes by the home. She tries to seduce him. Until that day comes, he leaves his home. He is passing by. This fortune teller comes to the door of her home. When she sees the face of Abdullah, she lets out a shriek. And she runs back into the home. Abdullah is amazed. He knocks on the door. What has happened? For such a lengthy period of time, you have attempted to seduce me. And today, you looked at me and you ran back into the home. What has happened? She says, oh Abdullah, I am a learned woman. For a very long time, I have noticed a noor, a light that would shine from your forehead. And I understood that you were carrying the final Nabi and the Messenger of Allah within your loins. Your marriage took place to Amina. I lost hope, but I knew I still had a chance. I had hope that you would spend the night with me and transfer that noor to my womb. But this morning when you went past and I looked at your face, I realized that noor was no longer there. I believe that your wife Amina has conceived, she is pregnant. The noor of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is transferred into the womb of his mother. Sign after sign after sign, Allah is laying the platform, setting the stage for the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali al-Nadwi rahimahullah paints the picture. What was the backdrop against which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came into this world? And very great detail he goes into. He says, as though a lock had been placed upon the destiny and the fate of humanity. Every evil that you can think of was prevalent. Wa'dul banat, the bearing of daughters alive. Quran describes it. How illogical it was. وَيَجْعَلُونَ لِلَّهِ مَا يَكْرَهُونَ وَيَجْعَلُونَ لِلَّهِ الْبَنَاتِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَلَهُمْ مَا يَشْتَهُونَ The Arabs, when they would be given glad tidings of the birth of a daughter, then that father would become so angry and upset that immediately he would take that young girl, dig a hole in the ground and bury her alive. In the same breath, they would attribute to Allah that he has daughters. الْمَلَائِكَةُ بَنَاتُ اللَّهِ The angels are the daughters of Allah. A completely illogical practice of theirs. Al-hirabu wal-qital, wars and feuds that would break out. A person would graze his livestock in the neighbor's farm. This would spark a feud, which would last for generations upon generations. The consumption of alcohol, the practice of gambling. Every evil of society that you can think of was prevalent. As though a lock was placed on the taqdeer of mankind. He says the cart of humanity was going down an incline. There was nobody to apply brakes. The inhabitants of that cart were not bothered that they were about to meet their destruction and doom. When it seemed as though there was no way out for humanity, Allah's rahmat comes into force. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, inna arsalnaka shahidan, wa mubashiran, wa nadhira, wa da'iyan ila Allah bi idhnihi wa sirajan munira. The Nabi of Allah is brought into this world. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reaches the age of 40. Years later, a group of jinnat come to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The incident is recorded in Surah Al-Jinn. وَأَنَّا لَمَسْنَا السَّمَاءَ فَوَجَدْنَاهَا مُلِئَتْ حَرَسًا شَدِيدًا وَشُهُبًا The practice of the jinn in that time which is described in Quran, they would ascend into the heavens. Whenever Allah Rabbul Izzah would pass a command, something that needs to be carried out in this world, the birth of somebody, the death of somebody, some major event, the angels would communicate this amongst themselves. These jinn would lie in wait, وَأَنَّا كُنَّا نَقْعُدُ مِنْهَا مَقَاعِدَ لِلسَّمْعِ. They would take up position in the sky to eavesdrop on the conversation of the angels. And they would then take this information and relay it to the fortune tellers back in this world. These fortune tellers would add their lies to it. They would spice up the story and sell this to the people. And in this way they would make a living out of it. On one occasion these jinn ascend into the heavens. They attempt to eavesdrop on the conversation of the sky. فَوَجَدْنَاهَا مُلِئَتْ حَرَسًا شَدِيدًا وَشُهُبًا. They narrate the incident to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam later. That we went as per our habit and our norm, we ascended into the heavens. We attempted to eavesdrop on the conversation of the angels, but we found suddenly that there were flames of fire that were waiting to chase us and burn us. The skies were now locked and closed. We were unable to gain access. They come back and report to their leader. He says to them, it seems as though some major event has taken place in the world. He dispatches the delegations. You go to the mashriq, to the east. You go to the west, find out what has taken place in the world. وَأَنَّا لَا نَدْرِي أَشَرٌ أُرِيدَ بِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَمْ أَرَادَ بِهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ رَشَدًا. He says, we do not know, perhaps some calamity has befallen this world, or perhaps Allah Rabbul Izzah has made a decision of goodness for them. A group of jinnat finally converge upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They hear him reciting the Quran. This is the answer. Allah has commissioned this man as the final Nabi. In preparation for his nubuwwat, the skies are closed. Access is denied to these jinnat. Now only Quran and wahi will come down. The stage is being prepared before his arrival in this world. At the age of 40, he receives nubuwwat. As bin Wa'il is in Makkah Mukarrama. He is an arch enemy of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. As we had mentioned, the Arabs regarded it as a source of pride to have male offspring. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, again there exists difference of opinion. According to an authentic narration, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had two sons from Khadija radiallahu anha, Qasim and Abdullah. And later on he had a third son from Maria Qibtiya, his slave girl radiallahu anha, whose name was Ibrahim. All three passed away in infancy. As bin Wa'il, according to one narration, Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayd. These are arch enemies of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, seeking his downfall. They pass the comment on the occasion of the demise of his son, that Muhammad is abtar. What is meant by abtar? That person whose lineage will be terminated. He has no male issue, no male offspring to continue his legacy. Upon this, the surah that I recited in the beginning, Allah sends down Jibreel. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. O Muhammad, indeed we have given you al-kawthar. Mufassirin go into great detail what is meant by al-kawthar. According to the apparent view, Al-Kawthar, as we know, refers to Hawz-e-Kawthar, the river or the pond that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will be blessed with on the day of Qiyamah. According to an authentic hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam describes the pond of Kawthar. That, O my Ummah, on the day of Qiyamah, if you are searching for me, you will find me at my pond. Kizanuhu ka'adadi nujumi sama. The number of utensils and cups available are the number of the stars in the sky. Ma'uhu abyadu min al-laban wa ahla min al-asal. The water is more pure and clear than milk. It is sweeter than honey. That person who will drink from this pond will never become thirsty again. If you do not find me at my pond, you will find me at the mizan, at the scales of justice. I will be interceding before Allah Rabbul Izzah, make it easy for my ummah. If you do not find me there, you will find me at the Sirat, as the people are prepared to cross over into Jannah. There also will be interceding on behalf of my ummah. Oh Allah, make it easy for them to cross through safely. So according to one interpretation, Al-Kawthar, what is meant by it? The pond of Kawthar. But according to the majority of Mufassirin, Inna a'tainaka al-Kawthar, O my Nabi, I have blessed you. I have given you Al-Khayr al-Kathir, abundant goodness. In every aspect of your life, I have given you khair and goodness. So that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is a young boy. The practice of the Arabs, the young children would be sent to the countryside. The air would be more fresh and pure. The environment would be clean. They would learn the eloquent language of those in the countryside. They would learn the mannerisms, the gentleness, the tolerance of those in the countryside. Halima Saadia is amongst the wet nurses. She comes to Makkah Mukarrama. As she is arriving, her camel or her conveyance falls ill. And because of this, her arrival in Makkah Mukarrama is delayed. The other wet nurses arrive before her. And of course, they seek those children who come from wealthy homes. We will take these children back for a year or two. We will breastfeed them, nurture them, raise them. And at the end of that period of time, there will be a handsome payout for us. Halima Saadia arrives in Makkah Mukarrama. All the wealthy children are taken. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there in the house of Abdul Muttalib, a yatim, an orphan. There is no hope of any payout. He doesn't have a father. Who is going to take care of the financial payment? But she has no option, no choice. She arrived late. So she is forced to take Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into her care. She puts him onto her conveyance and she prepares for the return journey. Amazingly, suddenly her camel begins to overtake the other wet nurses. Oh Halima, what has happened? You were delayed in your arrival. Your camel was ill. It was weak. What has happened? It seems as though this child you are carrying has blessings within him. She was a woman who did not have many outward means. But suddenly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes into her home. Her family members can sense the barakah and blessings. Her life suddenly turns for the better. The animals that are there in that home are suddenly nourished and well fed. The barakat and blessings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can be seen from infancy. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, O my Nabi, we have blessed you with abundant goodness. And on this point, ulama explained, Halima Saadiyah took that infant, that young child, into her home. She saw the barakat and blessings. We can imagine that person who will bring the sunnahs of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam alive within his home. What barakat and blessings will he not see within his home? When it comes to his children, his business, whatever it may be, if that infant child could bring about barakat and blessings, the legacy that he left behind, what blessings will that not hold for us? O my Nabi, we gave you abundant goodness in every aspect of his life. Ulama explained. From the name of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, one narration suggests Adam alayhi salatu wasalam is about to be expelled from Jannah. Allah Rabbul Izzah has told him that you will leave the gardens of Jannah, you will be confined to the world, you will have to live there and pass away there. In a last attempt, final attempt, he says, O Allah, in the name of Muhammad, I ask you to pardon me. Allah says to him, O Adam, where did you hear of the name Muhammad? O Allah, I saw this inscribed on your throne. And I realized this must have been a special person. So as wasila, I took his name, hoping you will pardon me. The shair says, وَشَقَّ لَهُ مِنْ إِسْمِهِ لِيُجِلَّهُ فَرَبُّ الْعَرْشِ مَحْمُودٌ وَهَذَا مُحَمَّدٌ. Allah Rabbul Izzah, from his very own name and quality of Mahmood, being praiseworthy, Allah chose the name of his Nabi Muhammad, the praiseworthy being. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. O my Nabi, we have given you abundant goodness. When it came to his city of Medina Munawwara, so that every ummati till the day of Qiyamah, no matter what his level of iman may be, but who doesn't have that yearning and desire to go to Madinatul Munawwara? A person just hears the ticket prices down, visas are available, and the desire comes within the heart. I know I have no leave. I'm working. But how I wish Allah would take me just one glimpse at that green dome. Just to smell the air of Medina Munawwara, one pious person says very beautifully. He says, Allah blessed me to travel to different parts of the world. And I have seen all the wonders of the world. The palace of Alhamra in Spain. The Mu'arrikheen write was the first Hadiqatul Hayawan. The first game reserve in Islamic history. In our terms, the king would wake up in the morning and the big five were playing in his garden. He says, I saw the palaces of Alhamra in Spain. I saw the waterfalls of the world. I saw the tourist attractions of the world. But wallah, one palm tree of Medina Munawwara is more beautiful than all of this put together. How happy a person becomes, someone has brought khajur from Medina. Someone thought of me when he was there. He brought one topi, one miswak for me. Something I can purchase here, but he brought it all the way from Madina Munawwara. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is returning from an expedition. O my sahaba, inna hadihi tayba. Ahead of us lies my pure and wholesome city. Askananiha rabbi azza wa jal. My residence here is not by chance. Allah chose it as a place of residence for me. Yanfil khabath kama yanfil kiru khabath al-hadid. When a furnace is heated and a rusty piece of metal is placed into it, the heat of that furnace burns away the metal, or burns away the rust, and that metal is cleaned and purified. The city of Madina Munawwara will have that effect on the hearts of those who visit it. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, O my Nabi, we have given you abundant goodness. When it came to his companions and sahaba, Allah gave him the best. إِنَّ اللَّهَ نَظَرَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْعِبَادِ. The hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah looked into the hearts of mankind. And he found the most pure and clean heart for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. ثُمَّ نَظَرَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْعِبَادِ. Once again Allah looked into the hearts of mankind. فَوَجَدَ خَيْرَ قُلُوبِ الْعِبَادِ قُلُوبَ أَصْحَابِهِ. Allah found the most pure and clean hearts for the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. فَجَعَلَهُمْ وَزَرَاءَ نَبِيِّهِ. Allah made them the vicegerents and friends of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Incident upon incident is mentioned regarding the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Zayd bin Dathina radiallahu anhu. He is captured by the enemy. They are about to take his life. The leader comes to him. O Zayd, did we not tell you that you are following this man, this Muhammad? You are abandoning the deen of your forefathers. It's not going to turn out well for you. And then he taunts him further. O Zayd, would you not like that Muhammad be in your place and you can be saved? Zayd bin Dathina looks up at him. He says, O enemy of Allah, by Allah I would not wish for a thorn to prick my Nabi, even if I had to sacrifice my life for him. The love that they had for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam does hijama, cupping. The blood is there, he gives it to Abdullah bin Zubair. Oh Abdullah, dispose of this blood for me. Abdullah bin Zubair takes the blood of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he thinks to himself, what better vessel can there be than my own body? He proceeds to drink the blood of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam later questions him, oh Abdullah, did you dispose of the blood? He says, yes, O Nabi of Allah, I have taken care of it. Oh Abdullah, perhaps you have consumed it? Yes, O Nabi of Allah. According to one narration, from that day onward, Abdullah bin Zubair would experience unbelievable strength in his body. Because he had the blood of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam within him. One narration of Aisha radiallahu anha says, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam responds to him, O Abdullah, the fire of Jahannam will never be able to touch you. You have my blood within your body. Thawban radiallahu anhu, the freed slave of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he comes to him. O Nabi of Allah, I become agitated when I am not in your company. Whenever I leave your company, that yearning is there to be with you. I fall into a state of despondency. O Nabi of Allah, one thought has crossed my mind. That as long as you are alive and I am alive, I am able to visit you and spend time with you. But when you leave this world, you are the Nabi of Allah. Allah will give you the highest of stages in Jannah. I am a lowly servant and slave of Allah. I will perhaps be on the bottom level of Jannah. How will I live in Jannah without being in your company? Allah sends Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam down. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءَ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. O Thawban, do not worry. That person who will obey Allah and his Rasul, then Allah will reward him by keeping him in the company of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. Incident after incident of the loyalty, the sacrifice, the love that Sahaba radiallahu anhum had for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. On one occasion, the spoils of war are being distributed. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam decides to give the majority over to the muhajirin of Makkah. The Ansar, human reaction. O Nabi of Allah, is there nothing for us? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam smiles at them. O Ansar, would it not please you that the muhajirin take away the spoils of war and you return with Allah and his Rasul? Unanimously, Bala Ya Rasulullah, definitely, O Nabi of Allah, we are happy with this. Inna a'tainaka, O my Nabi, we have given you abundant goodness. Every aspect of your life, the character of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam borrows some money from a Jewish person. The date comes for repayment. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not have the means. This person becomes very harsh in demanding repayment. Sahaba radiallahu anhum are there. They become angry. Umar radiallahu anhu is present. O Nabi of Allah, give me permission, I will behead him. Calmly, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam responds, O Umar, Allah has not sent me as an oppressor. Allah has not sent me to take away the rights of people. Go to the Baytul Mal, the national treasury, and repay him. And give him more than what is due to him. Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha is asked, tell us, O Ummul Mu'mineen, about the character of your husband, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We mentioned before, ask ourselves, my respected brothers in Allah, somebody has to go to my wife or your wife. And say that in confidence, tell us, what is the character, what is the akhlaq of your husband? Without skipping a beat, what will she say? We all know the answer. If you are looking for a modern day Fir'aun, don't look further than my husband. You'll find it all in him. What does Ummul Mu'mineen, first and foremost, is the wife of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. If you want to know the character of my husband, kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. His character was an embodiment of the Qur'an. Every attribute of goodness that Allah has mentioned was found in him to the greatest extent. In every aspect of his life, respected brothers and elders, inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. Allah says, we gave you abundant goodness, O my Nabi. Internally, externally, every characteristic of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. His beautiful appearance. Ulama have gone into great detail regarding the appearance of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The manner in which he would walk as though he was ascending a hill. He would take firm steps. He would not drag his feet on the ground and walk. He had small gaps between his teeth which increased his beauty. He had a pointed nose, the tip as though there was noor and light emanating from it. With regard to his chest, he had very little bodily hair. A thin line of hair that extended from the chest to the navel. His complexion fair in color. Dark wavy hair with just a few strands of white on it. When he would address anybody, he would give that person his full attention. When he would greet anybody, he would be the last to remove his hand. When he would speak, his voice would neither be too loud nor too soft. Aisha radiallahu anha says, to this extent, the care and the compassion of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Imagine, he was carrying the burden, the bhoj, the responsibility of the ummah on his shoulders. But when he would return home in the evening, he would make salam in such a tone that if I was asleep, it would not waken me. And if I was awake, I would have the opportunity to hear him and respond to him. Aisha radiallahu anha is a young girl. Significant age difference between her and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. She says, I would enjoy watching the Sahaba radiallahu anhum train and prepare for war. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would position himself in front of me. And he would allow me to lean on him and look over his shoulder. She says, time would pass and I would sense that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was becoming tired. But he would not move until I was done. When he sensed, or when I told him that I have had enough, then he would turn away. When it came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam as an army general, as a leader, as a head of state, as a husband, as a father, as a neighbor, in every aspect of his life, inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. O my Nabi, we have given you the best. We have given you abundant goodness. Then Allah says, fasalli li rabbika wanhar. Show your appreciation to Allah. Show your gratitude to Allah. How? By performing salah for your Rabb. Wanhar, sacrifice animals in the name of Allah. A message is being sounded to the ummah. That if you want to show your gratitude, your appreciation, your shukriya to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turn to ibadat. The practice of the Arabs was to make ibadat, to worship everything besides Allah. Animals were sacrificed for their deities and idols. O my Nabi, show your appreciation by performing salah for Allah. By slaughtering animals for Allah. And then, coming back to the incident of As bin Wa'il, he says, Muhammad is abtar. He is a person who has no male offspring, no male issue. There will be nobody to carry on his legacy moving forward. Allah consoles Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar. O my Nabi, it is your enemy whose legacy will be terminated. He will have nobody to continue his legacy and his name. Mu'arrikheen write, As bin Wa'il's name is only remembered through the barakat of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Had it not been for these narrations in the books of hadith and in the books of tafsir, he would have been a forgotten entity. In every aspect of the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, respected brothers and elders, Allah gave him only the best. Ask ourselves, my dear brothers and elders, as we mentioned in the beginning, tonight is not about celebration, it is about education, and secondly, application. We have learnt about Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ulama say on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will have a checklist. Now, we are reaching the end of the year. The matriculants will be preparing for the final exams. And we all know when it comes to the final exam, the examiner will have a marking memo. If the answer of the student coincided with the answer on that marking memo, he will get full marks. And if his answer did not coincide, he will fail that particular question. Ulama say on the day of Qiyamah, the marking memo that Allah will use will be the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ask ourselves, respected brothers and elder. Umar radiallahu anhu would say, حاسبوا قبل أن تحاسبوا. Take your account before your account is taken. Draw a mental checklist in our minds. The internal, external sunnahs of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that I know of, whether they be 5, 10, 5, however many I know of myself, how many do I know, how many are found within my life? When it comes to externally, his dressing, the usage of a miswak, usage of itar, the keeping of a beard, garments above the ankles. When it comes to the internal sunnahs of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his tolerance, his kindness, his generosity, his preference to others over himself, draw a mental checklist. If there is anything we take away from tonight, respected brothers and elders, do this before we sleep. Take hisab of our own lives and compare it to the sunnahs of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. How much is found within my life? Am I on 5%, 10%, 15%? And then understand whether my life is profitable or not. The accountant takes the books of the business and he says, this business is running at 5% or 10%. There is no option but to close down. Or you need to make serious changes if you want to see a profit. Ask ourselves, what percentage am I moving on? Am I 5 or 10% with regard to the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? Who can be more foolish than that person who has been given the example in front of him? لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Verse after verse of Quran, Allah tells us, if you're looking for a perfect example, you'll find it in the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We'll end on this, Mu'abrar al-Haq sahab rahmatullah alayhi, and we mentioned this before. He would say three special characteristics of the sunnats of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Three characteristics that are exclusive to the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Number one, the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salam is akmal, perfect and complete. It needs no addition, no subtraction. Every facet, every aspect of your life, you will find the solution in the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Secondly, he says it is ajmal, the most beautiful and appealing way of life. Whether it's his dressing, whether it was his external appearance, his conduct and character, there is nothing more appealing than this. And thirdly, he says, so that there is no excuse for anybody, it is the most ashal, the easiest and most practical way of life to implement. The 12th of Rabiul Awwal, respected brothers and elders, is just a date. The life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is more important than we confine it to one date, one night in the year. But rather every day of our lives, every breathing moment of our lives, understand we are the fruit of which garden? We are the ummah of which Nabi? Every Nabi of the past made dua to Allah. O Allah, make me the ummati of the final Nabi. Just that virtue, that fadilat, so that jannat also. The hadith of Muslim Sharif on the day of Qiyamah, from Adam alayhi salam till the last human, everyone will be there. There will be anbiya, there will be pious people. There will be those who devoted their entire lives to the service and khidmat of deen. But Jannat will be told it is haram for anyone to enter until and unless the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam does not enter. Allah has given us the fazilat, the virtue, the status. Together with this, respected brothers and elders, comes responsibility. What is our responsibility? Very quickly, ulama explained that we have complete and perfect iman in Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And in today's time, this is something extremely important, that we have absolutely no reservations within our hearts with regard to any aspect of the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Absolutely no reservations. When it comes to his marriage to Aisha radiallahu anha, significant age difference. But this was the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. I have no reservations regarding it. When it comes to his practices in battle, in war, the different treaties and pacts that he made with different people, when it comes to the statements that he uttered, the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, every word that came out of his lips, that I have no reservation. I have full and complete iman and yaqeen. I believe, I am convinced that this is the perfect way of life. And the second right that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has over us, that we emulate and follow him. Make every effort to bring his day and night, to make his day and night our day and night. And thirdly, that we make an effort to propagate, to spread the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Whether it be in our businesses, whether it be with our families, our friends, an opportunity arises, presents itself, share a sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. One last appeal, respected brothers and elders. We take time out, and all of us take time out, whether it be on our cell phones, or whatever it may be, we read the news every day. We read different articles. We are on so many WhatsApp groups. We are reading so much of information we have coming to us. Take 5 minutes out. 24 hours Allah has given us. 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes a day. Sit with our families, our wives, children, grandchildren, and read a book on the seerah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We are spoiled for choice. In the English language, there are how many books on the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his companions, his characteristics, his practices. Take time out to read the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. With that, love will be created. When love is created, then naturally the desire will come. I want to emulate my beloved. And when a person will bring emulation of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam into his life, then he has been given a tick from the side of Allah. The marking memo has been completed on the day of Qiyamah. That will be the person who will be successful. Allah give us correct understanding and tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ومن رحيم كريم الله grant us complete understanding and love for Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم Oh may Allah grant us tawfiq to learn and to embody every sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, to bring it alive within our lives, our families, our homes. Oh may Allah, oh my beloved Allah, whatever was the tarteeb in Nabawi, what was happening in Madina Munawwara, Ya Allah, you bring it alive within our homes. Oh my Allah, Ya Allah, grant us the understanding of every sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the ability to practice on every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ya Allah, accept our lives to propagate and to spread the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya Allah, grant us tawfiq to understand our position, our honor, our status as ummatis of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Make us worthy of it, O my Allah. Ya Allah, don't let it be such that we cause pain and hurt to the heart of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. O my Allah, all the goodness Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked for, Ya Allah, you give us a share in that. All the evil he asked protection from, Ya Allah, protect us from it. Ya Allah, protect us, protect our progenies, our wives, our children, till the day of Qiyamah. Keep us with iman, take us with iman. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'u al-alim. Wa tub alayna ya maulana innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.